afternoon. Welcome to the City of Ocala City Council meeting. Doug Green will lead us in our invocation and pledge.
You will join with me as we pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beauty of this day, for the opportunity it gives us to serve you in so many different ways. I pray that you will bless this assembly as they come together to conduct the business for the City of Ocala and the surroundings community. I pray that you will bless each person who will participate, that everything that is said and done will be in a way that will help this community to continue to prosper and grow. But we pray all of this in our Lord's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you again for coming tonight. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
Thank you. Mayor Gwynn?
Here.
Ms. Rich?
Here.
Mr. McLeod?
Here.
Mr. Owen?
Here.
Ms. Heinberg?
Here. We have two awards and presentations. The first one, Councilman Rich, you're going to make a presentation tonight.
I don't know anything about this.
You didn't?
No. What is this, Dr. Sheila?
Do you need the proclamation for you?
It says,
Is it two, Ms. Rich?
There is, Rich, I believe you're the recipient.
You're the recipient.
Well, step up here, Councilwoman Rich.
Go there and give it to yourself. God's calling. Hold on. Look at there.
Here. You take care of it. I don't know what to do.
Whenever you're free. All right. Well, this is a proclamation, and this is for Women's History Month. And this is for you, and I guess this is you're representing a group of women. And it says, whereas American women of every race, class, and ethnic background have made historic contributions to the growth and strength of our nation in countless records, recorded and unrecorded ways, and whereas American women have played and continue to play critical economic, cultural, and social roles in every sphere of the life of the nation, and whereas women have played a vital role through the years by providing a majority of the country's volunteer labor force, and whereas despite these contributions, the role of American women in history has been consistently overlooked and undervalued in the literature, teaching, and study of American history. Now, therefore, I, Kent Gwynn, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of the City of Ocala, do hereby proclaim March 2012 as Women's History Month in Ocala and call upon all citizens to reflect upon the important contributions women have made to our country. In witness thereof, I set my hand and cause the seal of the City of Ocala to be affixed this 9th day of March 2012. So I'll present that to you.
If I'll ask Jay Bailey to come forward. She has a presentation.
Good afternoon. Jay Bailey, 310 Southeast 3rd Street. Good to see everybody this afternoon. As you may know, every year the Chamber of Commerce selects through a large pile of nominees, businesses to award and entities to award, everything from the Small Business Person of the Year, the Minority Business Person of the Year, and the Business of the Year. 2 weeks ago, we had our annual event, and we conveyed a lot of awards, but I'm here today in front of this body to congratulate you, the City of Ocala, for receiving the Megawatt Award.
Wow,
turns on. Nice. So what is this about? This is about our theme this year is for innovation today, leading to jobs tomorrow. And it's about all the city of Ocala is doing. The list is long. You know what it is, but it's everything from supporting the power plant, the linear park, the Citizen Circle, American Fresh Farms, what you're doing with the airport, Ocala 49, Ocala Marion County Commerce Park. You are doing so many things, so many initiatives, so many projects, working with the public and private sector to energize this economy. And on behalf of the Ocala Marion County Chamber of Commerce, thank you for all of your efforts.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jay.
Jay, I owe you a sincere and heartfelt apology. Jay had asked that I show up, and unwittingly, I didn't know that this was going to be presented that night, and so I played hooky and snuck out early, and I guess when they called the city's name, I was obviously not there, so.
I wasn't going to rat you out.
He apologized.
You have a very honest city manager. This is terrific. Thank you, Matt.
Thank
and
you.
Again, congratulations.
Thank you very much. And I've just noticed that we have a Boy Scout in the audience tonight. If you would please come forward and tell us your name and rank and what troop you're with, I'd appreciate it very much.
Commit him to donating $1 million when he grows up.
And we're going to make you commit to giving $1 million. Go ahead.
I'm Peter Brand from Troop 72. My rank is life.
Okay. Thank you very much. We welcome you here tonight. Okay, I have a few public comments. Benny Jeffers.
I hope it's good to be number one. My name is Benny Jeffers, address 16490 Northeast 55th Street over in Williston. I'm a partner in Gun Trader Gun Shows. We bring the show to the Ocala National Guard Army 4 times a year. Mm-hmm. During our last show, 10:30 at night, one of the code enforcement officers must have been on an ice cream run or something. I'm sure he was on his own time, but politely he stopped by and let me know that our signs were in violation, the roadside signs. We put these out on Thursday or Friday before the show. The armory's kind of off the beaten path, mm-hmm. off 17th, and we went and picked up all the signs we had out at 1:30 in the morning before I finally got to bed. I would request that y'all consider a special ordinance allowing signs for temporary events. Mm-hmm. We'd be willing to pay a deposit. If the signs aren't picked up by sometime on Monday, we'd be happy to pay a fine. We want our signs back. They're not show specific. We use them 26 shows a year throughout the state. We bring a lot of revenue to the town. We pay sales tax. Our vendors are mostly from out of town. They book motels, gas stations, restaurants. The public that attends the show, the husband from out in the forest or over in Williston or wherever, he'll drop the wife off at the mall and he'll come to the gun show. Mm-hmm. A lot of wives come to the show as well. Any questions?
Does anyone have any questions?
Our attendance was down because of the lack of signs. That and the phone ringing off the hook for people that had our number wanting directions. Mm-hmm. I'm sure just on our past gates, we'll continue to have, you know, a suitable gate for a while, but as you know, if you're not getting new business, a business dies.
Right.
And that was revenue for the city as well. Any questions at all?
Anything?
No, I would just say there's a lot of events, not just gun shows, but there's a lot of events that could use these signs
right.
for a lot of things. And that's one reason the sign ordinance got put in place the way it did, because unfortunately a lot of people do leave the signs and they end up flying around and they do all. And the second thing, whether our code enforcement officer was on an ice cream run or whatever, I'm glad that even after hours, he was looking out for the city of Ocala and our code of ordinances.
Very, very polite gentleman. I mean,
good. I'm glad he was working late.
Well, I don't think he was on the job at 10:30 at night.
So I
understand the purpose. If every business put out 100 signs, well, it would be a disaster. But a special weekend event comes in, they're not stable throughout the year where they can just continually grow through, you know, normal means of advertisement. I mean, we do radio, newspaper, but it's just cost prohibitive to put a map in every ad that we put and explain directions on the radio and things like that.
Well, I know we've had some workshops on this,
right.
But I mean, me personally, I'm not interested in just a special
thing for the
carving
weekend.
Out for a weekend thing. We've got to look at, as you know, we did with the churches, on the Easter and the Christmas things, which we've got
right.
to look at. And I mean,
it's always
swinging, right?
So you go,
well, we've got it's just this one event for this weekend, and then,
right.
then everybody's got them out, and then all of a sudden they're all over the place, and then we swing back again to, all right, let's not do anything. And
right.
then we get these types of requests. So I don't,
right.
From revisiting of another introduction of a code, I mean, if staff, Mark, Jim, if they want to come back and say that there's some, obviously ordinances are always a sort of a moving target, if you will, that there's always ways they can be tweaked. But, you know, I think we need to go through the ordinance process of staff presenting some options and looking, because it's not just your event. I mean, there's tons of events every weekend all over the city that are just, you know, and I hate telling a guy that's a gun show, no, you can't do something, because hopefully you're...
Right. I'm unarmed.
No!
Well, think about it. If you got a $100
oh, yeah.
fine for every sign that's left out on Monday morning, that's
right.
a big source of revenue,
right.
and I know you need revenue.
So, but that's just,
right.
that just me, and I'd be interested to hear from staff as far as them coming back with, you know...
If there's anything that they would...
Matt, I don't know if you guys...
Mr. Brown?
Yeah, Mike, want to go ahead and make a comment?
I was just Mark Mundell. I was going to mention, of course, our sign code does allow for temporary events, special event signage already. So it may not be exactly in the way that all the businesses like, but this gentleman, as well as any other business owner, can certainly come to us and sit down with the city and talk about their event and pre-plan a little bit about when it's going to be. And we can go out with him and identify locations that are feasible and what the parameters are for the temporary signs, especially. Yeah.
So really interested to do that with you. I was told there's no way we can put signs.
The issue would be where you put them, probably, in terms of off-site signage. In other words, you couldn't just put them at strategic locations throughout the city
mm-hmm.
to direct traffic. But certainly at the location of the event itself, and there may be some other areas we could try to look at to see where we can help you. I think if you could just give me a call, we'll arrange for a time to meet you.
Sure.
I have my...
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
The city of Tallahassee... Code enforcement business at the show on a Friday evening. He had prepared for us. He said, your signs are already out. Here's a drawing of where they have to be. They have to be, you know, on the opposite of the street side of the sidewalk. They have to be behind the power poles, out of the easements. And he said, I know they're out now. Leave them out. But the next time you come to town in 3 months, this is where you need to put them. He had a paper and showed us exactly what we had to do. It was great.
There's anything else?
Just get with Mark and.
All right.
I'm sure he could work it out with you.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Thanks.
Yeah, and I would say again, in defense of staff, it's hard for us to know what. I mean, there's
right.
events every week. I mean, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Churches, schools,
right.
businesses. I mean, it's hard. It would be
right.
nice to know if we had a schedule of what was going on so staff can understand that, but I mean, they're just.
There's no way to do that.
They're just going to get ice cream, drive down the road, and carrying out the code, so good for them.
Ray Calhoun. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Ray Calhoun. I live on 5851 Southwest 87th Street, Califlar. I came here tonight to find out if anything had been done when I was here in February. Catherine there, she stopped me out in the hall and told me that they had done 4 courts. I hadn't noticed that because my wife and I have been taking tests at the hospital, so I hadn't been over to the courts, but I'm sure going over tomorrow.
What time?
Let's see. 1 o'clock? You gonna be over there?
I'm trying to get by there.
Huh?
I'm trying to get by there. You got to promise you're going to play the harmonica, though? We got to celebrate.
Okay. I'll play the harmonica. So far, I played the harmonica in the courthouse and in here. I haven't played it that place where I want to go, what they call it, Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, well, there you go. You don't have a tune for the school board, do you? I'll take you over there next time. I got a couple of ideas.
When I come here to now I come here to thank Mr. Brower or whatever. Everybody that came out, we've had some time, we came out to look at the course, they were bad. And there were ants and weeds and leaves, and Mr. Brower told me he'd take care of that, and he sure did. Ever since he told me that, the things have been beautiful. But the courts were still lousy. But now, thanks to this camera here, we have four new courts, four surfaced. I haven't seen them yet, but I'll sure see them tomorrow.
All right.
And I want to thank you. It's been the first time I came here was a year ago, February. Been a long time we've been fighting this battle, but we finally came to an agreement. Instead of 15 courts, we got down to 4. Thank you very much. Appreciate it a lot.
All right, appreciate it, too.
Thank you.
Mr. Brown.
Ray, let me extend the courtesy back to you and express to you my appreciation for your willingness to get involved, take part in the process, and not just come forward and complain, but advance solutions to tough problems. And for that, I say thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much.
Howard Gunn, Jr. Please state your name and address for the record.
Howard Gunn, Jr., 2801 Southwest 15th Street here in Ocala, 34475. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see everybody again. I wanted to share something with you to introduce ourselves to you, the entity that I represent. To let you know what we are doing in West Ocala. First of all, our organization has created for profit that will be providing goods and services to our citizens of West Ocala. Now, there are two major components to this project that will include the processing and delivery of fresh farm products from local consumption through retail and wholesale outlets. We anticipate that the first phase of the project, approximately 87 jobs will be created. Construction of the project will require approximately 15 acres of land. Capital investment in this project is approximately $15 million. Several months ago, we made an application for new market tax credits through Urban America. And earlier this month, Urban America informed us that our project is eligible for consideration. The next step, however, in this process is to present our detailed project concept to Urban America. They have told us that the total project cost and the potential project site must be identified, and all sources of capital, in addition to tax credits, capital must be committed before a new market tax credit can finance and close. We have approximately 30 days to provide all of these documentation to Urban America. We desire that the city support this project and are requesting staff assistance to identify potential sites and evaluate other potential assistance. Again, thank you for hearing us, and we hope that we will be able to partner with the city to do something to West Ocala and revitalization. Thank you.
So, sir, your request is for staff assistance on getting some of the
started.
Paperwork and that type
exactly.
of thing together? Mr. Brown.
Yeah, in fact, Mr. Gunn, thank you for coming tonight. Staff has actually been engaging on this project. In fact, Mark, you want to take just 30 seconds and elaborate?
Sure, absolutely. Their critical need right now, as mentioned, is to try to identify some property that could work for the facility. And so they're looking at both privately owned property and have looked at some of the properties that the city owns in West Ocala. And in order for them to continue that reservation of the new market tax credits, they need to get that information back to that entity within less than 30 days now. And so what I believe their intent would be is if we can find some property, let's say city property that would work, we might bring back to you some type of agreement similar to what the Heart of Florida did mm-hmm. for their application, where if they do X, Y, and Z, then they would get the property. So I think we will get in with, if this is a direction you like to head, we would get with the city attorney's office on that.
Okay. Are there any comments or questions?
Do you have some sites that you like in mind?
Well, we have to.
I mean, other than ones that the city has.
Well, we have to stay within the low income census.
Right.
Tracts.
Yeah.
And there's very few properties in there that has the acreage that we really need. There may be a combination of two parcels instead of one. So we're still looking.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, whatever we can do to help you, it'll work.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
We're behind you.
Thank you.
No, but Mr. Gunn, I told you, you need to talk to each council member separately.
Very well.
You need to get that done real quick, as soon as they can get an appointment with you. Because they need to know exactly what you're talking about and where it's going to be located.
Very well, we'll take care of that.
And Mr. Mondale will help you as much as you need it.
I appreciate the consideration, and we look forward to partnering with the city of Keller, Marion County. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other public comments at this time? Anyone else? Okay. We're going to move to 5A, second and final reading of ordinances. 5A, adopt ordinance 2012-23 to amend the future land use designation from light industrial to public buildings and facilities for approximately 6 acres of property located on the west side of Northeast 19th Avenue in the 2000 block. Case LUC 11-0013. OPZ on February 13th gave approval 6-0. Introduced by Councilwoman Rich.
Mr. President, I move the ordinance number 2012-23 be adopted as provided by the charter of the city of Ocala, except that a doctrine by sections on second reading be waived and based on staff's recommendation for case number LUC 11-0013 and other evidence presented to city council.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
An ordinance amending the future land use map series of the city of Ocala, Florida comprehensive plan as required in section 163.3161 through and including section 163.3245 Florida statutes detailing the land use change, case number LUC 11-0013, involved in to amend the future land use map series from light industrial to public buildings and facilities for property located on the west side of Northeast 19th Avenue in the 2000 block, Ocala, Florida, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Are there any council comments or questions? Are there any public comments on this item? Back to council. Call the roll.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Rowland?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbach?
Aye. Item 5B, adopt ordinance 2012-24 to rezone from M1 light industrial to institutional for approximately 6 acres of property located on the west side of Northeast 19th Avenue in the 2000 block. Case ZON 11-0014, OPZ on February 13th, gave unanimous approval. Introduced by Councilmember McLeod.
I get to read?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Madam President, I move that ordinance 2012-24 be adopted as provided by the city charter, city of Ocala, except that the adoption by sections on second reading be waived, and based on staff's recommendation for case number ZON 11-0014 and other evidence presented by city council, to city council.
Second. I have an motion and a second.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the city of Ocala, Florida, changing from M1 light industrial to INST institutional for certain property located on the west side of Northeast 19th Avenue in the 2000 block, Ocala, Florida. Case number ZON 11-0014, providing for severability, providing for the appeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Are there any questions or comments by council? Are there any public comments on this item? Call the roll.
Ms. Rich? I'm sorry, Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Owen?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbach?
Aye. Item 5C, adopt ordinance 2012-25 to amend the Code of Ordinances, Chapter 2, Administration, Article 3, Boards, Commissions, Committees, Division 3, Municipal Arts Commission. Introduced by Councilmember Mary Sue Rich on March 6, 2012.
Ms. President, I move that ordinance number 2012-25 be adopted as provided by the charter of the city of Ocala, except that adoption by sections on second reading be waived, and based on staff's recommendation for case number.
Do you have a second?
Second, sorry.
I have a motion and a second.
An ordinance of the City of Ocala, Florida concerning Chapter 2 Administration, amending Section 2-143, composition, term of members, compensation of members, and amending the number of members on the Arts Commission and appointment criteria, amending Section 2-144, meetings, providing for additional meetings as required to carry out duties, amending Section 2-146, expenditures, acceptance of funds, amending criteria under which the commission may solicit or expend funds, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing an effective date.
Are there any questions or comments by council? Any public comments on this item? Call the roll.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuffel?
Aye. Item 6A, approve the Economic Incentive and Acquisition Agreement Amendment with American Fresh Farms, LLC. Presentation by Mr. Mondale.
Yes, thank you. Please recall back on March 6th, staff brought to City Council's attention that there were some pending deadlines coming up in the American Fresh Farms Agreement that the company was not able to fulfill and therefore seeking an extension or an amendment to their agreement. The extension is required largely because for reasons beyond their control, they did not receive the state incentive agreement until just recently. That agreement is critical, is a critical component of them achieving financing for the project, which they continue to diligently work on. If approved, the agreement would extend several of the deadlines and contingencies. The financing commitment deadline would be extended till July 1st of this year, the construction commencement deadline to September 20th, and the completion deadline to December 15th. Staff recommends approval, and Mr. Cortez from the company is here to answer any questions.
Are there any comments or questions from the council? Anything, Mr. Owens? Mr. McLeod, do you have anything?
No questions.
Ms. Rich? Did you have something, Mr. Cortez?
I'm here and available to answer any questions. I think Mark did a fine job explaining everything. Jose Cortez, 4 Southeast Broadway. But I'm available to answer any questions that you may have.
Mr. McLeod.
Yeah. Tell me exactly again when you received state approval. I don't have it in front of me. At one time, I thought it was the first week of January. It was sometime in January. But it was actually, I think, the last week of January when we received the formal package. It was late January. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mr. Gwynn.
Well, and also, they kept telling them, we're going to give it to you, we're going to give it to you, and, you know, and then it just got delayed. And, Councilman Heimbach, President Heimbach and I, you know, didn't vote for this one, I was a council member. One of the things we do here at council is, you know, if we support something, we all, you know, whether we voted for it or not, get behind it. So, I mean, you know, while I didn't vote for it, I now support, you know, this project. It's a great project. And Jose and I spent probably a year before it ever became, you know, public just talking about it and going back and forth. And, it was a little rich for my blood at the time, but, I think it's a good project. It'll be successful. And I think we need to continue to work with the team and, yeah, moving forward.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Are there any public comments on this item or questions from the public?
Do you need a motion?
We need a motion.
I move that we approve the Economic Incentive and Acquisition Agreement Amendment with American Fresh Farms, LLC.
Second.
I have a motion by Mrs. Rich and a second by Mr. Owen. Are there any further discussions? Call the roll.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Rowland?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuffel?
No. Item 6B, approve for the third supplement to urban planning agreement, phase 3, between the City of Ocala and VHB Miller Selim for the attached work order number 7, retail market study. Presentation by Mr. Zobler.
Thank you. This is the latest work order in the VHB Vision 2035 process, and it calls for a retail market study to site a grocery store in West Ocala. The study will take approximately 45 days and will include site selection, marketing development, identification of potential sites and businesses to locate here, and then development of recruiting tools to help achieve that goal. We recommend your approval.
Are there any questions for Mr. Zobler? Do I have a motion?
I have a question, Mr. Zobler.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just what does this study entail?
The study involves looking at the geographical area to identify sites that are good for potential sites for retail market development, a look at the demographics and the type of clientele that might support a retail market in that area, what that market might look like, and then the development of incentive tools and promotional material to try to attract a retail market to the area.
I understand the need for a study. I just feel a little studied out. Mm-hmm. Seems like every time I turn around, there's a study. Mm-hmm. Something.
This subconsultant has particular expertise in this type of analysis, and that's why we were attracted to them, to try to help us get a retail market in that area.
Mm. Mr. Allen.
Anything?
I'm
still. Okay. Mr. Owen
had some comments. Go ahead. John, this money was budgeted. I mean,
this has been budgeted.
This particular item, but we got, there was.
This was $200,000 were set aside for the West Ocala sub area plan, $27,000 for the study as part of that
sub area plan.
Yes, sir.
And that's in the budget that was approved last year, October. Okay.
So moved. I have a motion by Mrs. Rich.
Second.
And a second by Mr. Owen. Are there any public comments on this item? Any further comments from council? Please call the roll.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Rowland?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye. Item 6C, reappoint George Carrasco Jr., Joyce Johnson, Rusty Jurgens, and Richard Williamson to the Board of Adjustment for 4-year terms ending March 1st, 2016. Presentation by Mrs. Jacobs.
Actually, these all four members were reappointed at previous meetings. The terms on the agenda item was 3 years, so we need to correct for the record. The ordinance was changed. They are 4-year terms.
Okay.
So we want to get that corrected for the record.
Okay.
So moved.
Second. I have a motion by Mr. Owen and a second by Mrs. Rich. Are there any public comments on this? Back to council. Call the roll.
Mr. Owen?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye. We're moving on to the consent agenda. Do any council members have anything they'd like to pull from this agenda? Mr. McLeod?
No, I do not.
Ms. Rich?
Yeah.
Mr. Owen?
No, ma'am.
Okay, do I have a... No. I don't have anything either. Do I have a motion for the remainder of the consent agenda? For the entire consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Mr. McLeod and a second by Mrs. Rich. Are there any comments, public comments on the consent agenda? All right. Call the roll.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Rowland?
Aye.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Aye. All right, we are going to skip down. This is a quick one. To the utility file. I think I've ever called for the retail report at 25 to 5.
I'm just going to ask our director of water services to step up for a minute to inform council on an award that's been given to their department recently.
Okay, great.
Good evening, Jeff Halcombe, Water and Sewer Director. This week we participate in Region 11 Best Taste Watering for Region 11, which includes Marion County, Gainesville, Lake City, and Newberry, and some other areas in I can say that we paused for effect. No, we won, which is kind of good.
We got waxed.
We didn't get the water from Tuscaloosa. We got it from our wastewater, from our water plant. But what they're going to do is they would like to come at the next council meeting or two to present us with a plaque. It's a traveling plaque that will have our name on it. So I thought that you might want to get that before everybody else gets that out there and you hear about it last. At least you know first, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
That's all I have, unless council has any questions.
Any questions, Mr. Novak? All right, the internal auditor's report. She doesn't have anything. She's left us something on the desk. Are there any questions for the internal auditor? Woohoo, we're buzzing. City manager's report.
Two very quick items. First is you were submitted a letter dated March 16, 2012 from the Marin County Public Schools.
Yes.
Indicating that they declined Councilman Owens' request to sit down and dialogue. I want to make sure that you're aware of that. I don't know, Pat, if you wanted to make mention of that.
The hearing is, our injunction hearing is next, not this Friday, but the following Friday. We have employed the appellate attorney. The council approved the other night. They filed the notice of appeal and the same final thought of technical motion with the court to relinquish jurisdiction so that we can go forward with our case in the trial court while the appeal is still pending. So if we know when our injunction, they can appeal both at the same time. And I got an email yesterday from the attorney, the appellate attorney, that the appellate court down in the Key West case, which is the last of the trilogy of the cases that deal with wastewater, they have sent back some, they're trying to appeal it, certified to the Florida Supreme Court. They asked some interesting questions that he and I, from the tone of the question, seems to indicate that at least the appellate court, if they do send a case up to the Florida Supreme Court, is on track on what our issues are here, so mildly good sign.
Okay, and I just want to read the last please. Paragraph of the letter. It said to please convey to the other city council members that the school board took Mr. Owens' request very seriously, and that members of the city council are always welcome at their meetings. Anything else?
One other item. I will be out of the office tomorrow through next Monday. I'll be out of town. And Deputy City Manager John Zoller will be here and be able to take care of items.
All right. Mayor, Police Department report.
Just real quick, we, a group of us took a trip to Pinellas Hope down in St. Pete Clearwater yesterday to look at their homeless facilities. This was over, went down, took some great pictures. I appreciate that. These pictures that I saw. And went down there with the Star Banner and some folks from the city, Carla Grimsley from Interfaith, and some of the folks from Salvation Army weren't able to make it, but we'll report back when we get everything together. But great facility. Matt, you were involved in our discussion in the conference room with some of the social service agencies. I think it requires some further study. We need to look for a piece of property. I know the one that we had with the Project Hope was going to be on. That may or may not be available. I know we still have that. We may want to look at that. But just sit down and have a macro conversation with all the people that are involved now that we've seen that facility and get a report back. And I know Sheila Lopez said that she would come up and do a presentation for us and work with us in any way she could. It's run through the Catholic Charities, through the St. Pete Diocese. She's real well known with Catholic Charities. And Mayor Baker, who spoke at IHMC, which is where we heard about this idea, was with us and spent the day with us. We looked at downtown St. Pete. He showed us what happened after they completed that facility and their homeless population. Didn't exist down there to speak of. So it was a great trip. Got a lot of good information, but it's kind of the first step. There's many more steps to do or take, but it was a good start. So we want to engage the rest of the community and kind of go from there. But we'll be reporting back further as we go along.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Any questions? Okay. We'll move on to the city attorney's report. Mr. Gilligan?
There's a memo from Jimmy that was attached to the agenda about the legal issues surrounding the issue of withdrawal and whether we had to have a special election. I think it's self-explanatory, but actually we did want Mr. Fiorello, freezing here, Mr. Fiorello actually withdrawing would have been bad for the city. They'd have to have a, either Mr. Tillinger, the third runner-up, would be in the runoff, or if they both withdrew, which I heard was probably a prospect, we actually have to have another special election under our charter. So that prompts, you know, we're, Ms. Heimbuchel has got us on the path of doing a complete charter review this year, and so we're going to have a series of workshops. But one of the things that's going to be rebounding to you as a result of what happened here is the election code and election charter issues. Cloud has requested that we bring some of the same issues we brought to you once before back, but that'll probably be done once we see our fifth councilman, and y'all will get a chance to revisit all those issues again and decide what's best going forward.
Any questions for Mr. Gilligan? All right. Thank you very much. We'll move on to informational items. We have a city council work session on Tuesday, March the 27th, followed by an audit committee meeting on the same day. Attorney-client session, I'm wondering about the date on that. Was that today's, or is there going to be another one? That's today's.
Yep.
Okay. Do you have any further comments by the mayor?
Go ahead. Just one more thing. We're where's Ty? Ty here?
Yeah.
Ty. We're going to take a walking tour of the Tuscola area and look at a lot of the problems that we have in that area. Any council members or anybody else that wants to join us starts at 1:30 over at Parks and Rec.
1:30 is the steering committee meeting, and then the tour will start at 2 o'clock. And
what day is that?
It's tomorrow at
1:30. And then the tour is at 2:30. Now, you're playing shuffleboard, so we'll see you as we
go there.
Let's, back it up a half hour. Let's have some fun.
So I didn't want to, anybody to think they weren't welcome. So if you want to go, or any of the council members, or anybody wants to go, more than welcome to join us.
The meeting was noticed.
More than one councilman's going to go.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Well, I won't be going. I'm in Atlanta trying to get into
your basketball. You're scalping tickets in Atlanta.
Are you going?
I'm in Citrus County.
There's no sunshine problem.
All right.
We did notice it. So
anyway, thank you.
All right. Comments by council members. Mr. Owen, do you have anything tonight?
No. Just appreciate council letting me go over to our school board. It was an interesting meeting. Mm-hmm. I got flagged for going over time. But it was going to be interesting, and it did. Seriously, they're taking a path that this is going to be a bigger issue for us from a financial standpoint to have to address. That in the event, which I've told them, and it's I want to say we don't care, but we just need to know from a budget standpoint if the courts are going to back them up and they're able to opt out of all this stuff. There is a cost that associates with that, and we're going to have to figure out how to spread that over everywhere else. And the way it's headed. I think we're what, man, we figured that $3.5 million in totality on their bill as a whole for the year that the school board pays, electric,
yes.
Water, sewer, all this kind of
yes.
stuff. So it can end up being a pretty big number that
right.
we're going to be faced with. So again, our options, call off the dogs and just figure out how to come up with the extra $3.5 million. I think everybody knows where I stand on that. I think we. It's just a big enough number where we've got to look at that, and it was interesting. I would like to commend Miss Angie Boynton for acknowledging that we were in the room. She was the only one, and up until we got that letter yesterday, I didn't have a lot to report because there wasn't a lot of comment. But we're going to have to continue, and as I said, in speaking with Mr. Gilligan, and he's doing a fabulous job. It's just unfortunate that it blows my mind that I can't sit in a room and discuss. So I thought the school board was running the school system. Apparently they're not. a couple other people running it, so we'll see where it heads.
Thank you. Mrs. Rich, do you have anything? Okay. I've got something.
You got an hour.
I'll be done in an hour, I promise. Basically, I just want to talk to you all and y'all to talk to me, sort of. I've been, as you all know, with Commissioner Stone, trying to get the water agreements that we had a workshop about with the county. So what we came to together, he and I agreed to, is that we would do a one agreement that addressed Ocala Meadows. And in doing that agreement, and then follow up that agreement shortly thereafter with a second agreement that would extend our service territory to the north. And the county would step away from that area of the just north of the city. And we would extend the territory that we service. It's our hopes that we could do that in such a manner that the Ocala Meadows agreement that we draft initially becomes a moot point, because it would be over, because we would be taking that whole territory anyway. So that's, and y'all have gotten a copy of the agreement in your email. That's kind of where we left it, and we asked staff to draft that agreement and start with the Ocala Meadows agreement. That's the agreement that you all saw. There are two things that are important, I believe, to the city and to the city's customers in doing that. There are two things in that agreement that are important. One is that we limit the Ocala Meadows agreement strictly to the development that is Ocala Meadows. And the second thing is that we have some verbiage in there that says we're going to follow behind with another agreement. Both of those things you saw in the draft that you received, or you should have seen it in any way. So as you know, we kind of work through that in our mind. Let's say that we do this Ocala Meadows agreement and everything else, nothing else works out. We don't expand the territory. It all just goes to pot. And so I've talked to Jeff about this possibility. He says, he is telling me this still would benefit the city, and that we would receive additional revenues over our excess capacity, because we're not selling that capacity to anyone right now. So that's one benefit. The second benefit is long-term, there's a cost avoidance for us, and he can elaborate on that if he would like to, or if you all want him to do that. So if it all falls apart, and while we've got the Ocala Meadows agreement, then we're still not kissing the pooch or whatever you want to say. We're okay, we're whole, we're all right in our life.
We're not what?
So that's fine. So what I want from y'all, because I'm representing the council as we kind of move forward on these things, is kind of get your feel about what your thoughts are, what your concerns are, so that I have a good sense of where we stand as a council as we move forward and do these continued talking and negotiation.
Madam President, do you remind me where Ocala Meadows was?
It's, if there were three, it's the one in the middle. Straight
north,
north central.
North central.
Stronach's near the golf course.
Oh, okay.
The new on 441 and 326.
Okay, not the 27 core.
No,
or Gold Hills.
No,
Hadley
that's
Farms,
the new,
that.
You know, the old
right.
line core.
Okay.
There.
Okay.
326 and 441.
We were real close around Ashley Farms. There's only like a little sliver of property that separated.
There's about 400 feet.
Yeah, like nothing.
Yeah. It's,
well, I know you and I had spoken about this outside my office the other day, but. Yeah, I mean, I would like for Jeff to maybe, elaborate
sure.
a little bit. So, layman's terms, he's always good at that.
Jeff, before you start, has anything changed since the Guy Mentor email response?
Did that come yesterday? What was the Guy Mentor email response?
So there was a response going back.
Yes, that was
Thursday, Friday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
Yes, the county has submitted to us their changes, and Jeff had a meeting today, I believe, regarding those changes that they were.
Yes.
All right, so there's updates since then?
Yeah, yes, from 2 to 3, we did some pretty heavy hauling, and that's to say the least. But anyway, what we were able to do is there are still some contention, and the council president is correct, is that when we had talked to everybody, the issue was is that there was this whole area that we were going to try to be of some assistance in, or to help with, or to be partners in, whatever the terminology that some people want to use. Since then, they had kind of pulled back and said, no, we really need some help with Ocala Meadows. So we put our agreement and our thoughts in that process that would be just Ocala Meadows. The agreement that the county lawyer had pushed back was, it kind of changed some things around and it opened some things back up. And basically what it did is it said that they wanted to have additional capacity for Ocala Meadows, but actually what they did is they took out the terminology Ocala Meadows and they called it the North Central Service Area. And they had also put in some verbiage that they want to be able to hook up other customers. Well, in our and that was like, I felt like we had already back at the 50-yard line, you know, and it was kind of rough. But I had Monaire call me today and ask if we could meet from 2 to 3. So we sat down, and we actually pulled the agreement up on a computer, and we went through piece by piece the changes that Daryl and I had looked at over the weekend. And we basically said this, is that the agreement should be only about Ocala Meadows because of the impending agreements that we would like to talk to them about later on. So they don't necessarily agree with that, which, you know, that's part of doing business. It's no reason to, you know.
Define the staff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Keep going.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
There are opposing thoughts over there, but we agreed to disagree on a couple of those that we believe that it should only be about Ocala Meadows. There are some thoughts over there that they would like it to be more than Ocala Meadows. So as we left the meeting, there were some things that we agreed on. We talked about costs and the different arrangements, how that would get done. We agreed on that. I think we're good. We agreed that if it's strictly on Ocala Meadows, that we had put in the agreement that we were really concerned about the 40,000 gallons, and obviously we were concerned about that because at Ocala Meadows, that's all they really needed. But if and Flip's right, if you added the different phases together, there are some contention that could go over that. So we agreed that if it could only be for Ocala Meadows, that we would be happy with the agreement that it's 150,000 gallons, that would be fine. That's what they wanted, as long as it's about Ocala Meadows. So that is kind of how we left it at 3 o'clock. They were going to talk to Mr. Niblock and Flip were going to get together to look at a couple little aspects that we didn't agree on.
But I will say, the sort of the baffling part, from my part of it anyway, is that when Commissioner Stone and I asked, or when it was our agreement that the county would step away from that, why they were looking to put items in this agreement that would allow them to service other customers, because it was our intention that eventually the city would be servicing those customers anyway. So,
well, I was going to say, just you know, when we started this whole thing, well, I go back to the email that I saw the other day, and the last sentence was, Mr. Mender said, we're not going to be recommending any of this to the county commissioners, Board of County Commissioners. Right. So I always love those kind of statements from staff. So I picked the phone up and started calling the county commissioners to let them know what they weren't going to be recommended. This thing, I know we want to get something done, and we need to get something done. And in the heart of the spirit of cooperation, everything, we're, you know, all of this, the same thing like the school board and all of this, we're trying to work on this. But here's, this thing can get sideways real quick, and just what I was asking, who was they?
Right.
Where the document that Jimmy created, and staff met the chart that we created, this working document that went over to them, and they brought back all these responses, which is what you're talking about. It was beautiful because it smoked them out as to what they really want. Or when I said, and that's why I was asking you who they was. Obviously, I think staff has a strong opinion over there, which is understandable. Right. It's kind of like the consolidation thing, and not to bring up old wounds, but right. Hey, wait a minute, we can't draft ourselves out of a job here, kind of deal. Right. I think it goes down to this, and which I've asked all the county commissioners, which I've asked them, first of all, ask the question, do you want to be in the water and sewer business? If they want to be in the water and sewer business, there can be no agreement. Because the urban service area is going to go away. Right. And part of their thing that they're starting to wrap around is, let's extend, they don't want to talk about Calamanis, let's just talk about the north end here and then all this kind of stuff and then whatever happens. And my concern is, and Jeff, help me with this, my concern is, and I start trying to look 15, 20, 25 years down the road, and we do this fuzzy feel good, everybody's, yeah, we'll do this and we'll do that kind of deal. All of a sudden, let's just say Villages North happens in North Marion County. Is that going to happen? Probably not, but in the event that it does, and it could, I mean, we could have all of this growth up there. We've all of a sudden sort of committed our capacity to not our customers, to their customers, and then we're sitting there and going to have to be, you're going to be coming to this council, or somebody's going to be coming here and standing in front of some council and say, we got capacity problems, we got to go build another plant. So is it going to be number four, number five, number six, who knows where we're going to be putting them, and we got to build them. What do we got? We've got just the little city residents, kind of like we're dealing with the school board. 55,000 people got to figure out how to pay their power bill, right, kind of deal. And all of a sudden, 55,000 people are going to have to figure out how to handle all of this flow that's coming down from the north. So I just think, Susie, as you keep going through this, a hard line has to be taken. Tell us about the urban service area. And if y'all are wanting to be in, if you want to continue, just extend the urban service area agreement through another, 25 years or 30, I don't, whatever the number was that they were wanting to extend it. I think it's a short meeting. Just see you later, bye, and good luck to you, because they want to get into the water and sewer business, leveraging off the city's infrastructure. And that's a great, I'd like to set up a McDonald's without having to pay anything. I'll just start cooking burgers. I mean, it's without having to go through all of the, the construction part of it. And they're just, it seems to be, from everything I can tell, and that's why I'm asking staff versus the county commissioners, and it's the same thing I went over there with the school board. What is y'all's opinion? Can we meet?
Right.
Well, we've been instructed by our, again, I'm asking y'all, what do y'all think? Because y'all are the ones setting the policy, not large. And if Ms. Morris is running the school board, then we can save it. Taxpayers $150,000 a year from y'all's salary and just let Beverly run everything.
Right.
So, and that's the thing, been going back with this. And then my understanding is there's some county commissioners who, it's just like the Silver Springs thing, and we start looking at all these potentials where they understand that the city can help them in the sense that they don't need to be in the business.
Right.
And with that, that's where we start to step in. If they decide, from a staff level, that's not going to get recommended to the Board of County Commissioners.
Right.
If it goes to there and they say, we're going to be in the business, save everybody's time and go do something else.
Right. That is my biggest frustration, that it appears that the County Commission and the county staff are operating on two different agendas through this process.
They very much are. Right. And we got a great document again that smoked them out. And I quit meeting with them.
Mr. Graham.
And Jeff, help me with this. I just asked you a few questions to refresh my memory. And you and I talked about this. The urban service boundary goes away in 2016 or
2016? 2016. Yes, it's getting ready to. It's getting close.
4 years.
Mayor, in 2015, what we would have to do is send a letter to the county commission saying that in 2020 and 16 that we would want to do away with the urban service area.
Okay. And when they got in the water and sewer business, their consultant advised them of the value of these systems, and he or she didn't explain to them what the value of the problems underground were. And I understand they have about $150 million problem to fix, ballpark, of their systems.
I've heard several numbers. The issue really came from is, and I'm not sure how they would justify that, and I'm talking about not the county, but the folks that they got doing it is that they're looking at some of their future customers as a value on those customers. We don't do that way.
Right, right.
Because it leads to problems because you can't hook people up if they don't want to. So you have some issues
there. I'm just talking about the problems they have underground, all the infrastructure that needs replacing or repair.
Yeah, you know, and in their defense, they have got a monumental task, okay? They're the fourth largest county, you know, in the state of Florida, so they're trying to meet the needs of that big, huge county. So, yeah, for us, it's easier because our infrastructure, you know,
sure.
A mile infrastructure can go a long way to hooking up folks here inside
right.
the city. Outside in the county, they have a lot more trouble. But there are inferior systems. And I say this, and please don't take this wrong,
no.
is that when you guys ask us to take over some of the private infrastructures that we have, when we do some of those reviews, some of the infrastructure of those are pretty bad too.
Passed on.
So,
right.
you know, we have to spend some infrastructure. You know, we had taken over, I think it was Raven Hill and Citrus Park within
right.
the last 3 years.
Right.
And, you know, we had to do some immediate repairs to that system. We had to updo a lift station out on the South 40 Industrial Park that we took
right.
out as lift station 137. So, yeah, there's some inherent things that you've got to do because they don't match our standards. Now, the reason we have the standards the way we do is because we try to be as efficient as we can with the folks that we have that do the work, so we try to minimize.
And they were wanting us to buy their system, and they were valuing that with future customers, what the value of future customers were going to be.
We're going to have a meeting. We're going to have a couple meetings coming up. But yes, they're looking at their current customer. They're looking at their current infrastructure. They're looking at the ERCs that they paid because how they do business a little bit different. Again, how we do business, what they'll do is they'll have a private company that'll come in and want to build a Villages North, and they'll make the Villages North pay for all the infrastructure. And what
right.
they'll do for that is that they'll give them some credits on that.
Okay.
So when we evaluate their system, you know, they want us to take in consideration of that. I understand that they want us to do that. I'm not sure that's what I would advise us to do.
Mayor, I might be elaborating on that just a little bit. The county, as I understand it, sees the north part of their service territory as a growth area.
Right.
In terms of customers and, of course, in terms of additional revenues.
Right.
And so the sticking point has always been, how many customers are they going to have and what's the value of those customers?
Right.
And they want to use those customers and that revenue to, of course, pay and address these shortcomings that you and Jeff have
right.
spoke about
right.
just a moment ago.
Okay.
And that's really a sticking point. How many customers are there?
Yeah,
when
but
they
what's the number? Is it 10 people? Is it 50 people? Is it 5 million people? And they want to go straight to the 5 million and just pay us for the 5 million because that's what they get to speculate.
Yeah.
They get to set the number.
Sure.
We get to write the check.
Well, it's even bigger than that.
I mean, that's like saying, you know, Pro Poly's going to have, you
know,
$1 billion of revenue and you're selling tomorrow, so they owe you $1 billion.
And you can't serve those customers without infrastructure, and the infrastructure has a cost, and so that's somehow got to be weighed in this as well.
Well, the other thing, I'm concerned about is, you know, we have a, I think an ordinance in place is where we provide you the water and sewer to annex into the city. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, here's the problem. We start providing all these via the county, you know, city water and sewer that they've got now. Why would you annex into the city? We've already got what you're selling. You know, there's no reason for anybody to annex into the city. They're the county's customers, not our customers. They need to be our customers. So, you know, and let me ask you, I guess, this question too. If we didn't do this, I mean, the sun would come up tomorrow, right? I mean, we would just
yes.
continue on.
Yes.
It's not a problem for us, correct?
I believe the sun is always going to come up. Okay.
Well, God willing, but you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yes.
We don't need
we
to
don't
do
have
this.
To do this.
We don't have to do this.
We are helping out a neighbor.
Right.
Yeah,
well, and that's when we help out our neighbors.
Mayor, our system is flowing downhill at a really good rate right now. they're trying to climb a hill.
Mayor,
you know,
we have something to offer, and so we're hoping
we
like that, you know.
But a lot of times when we, you know, do things in the spirit of cooperation with our neighbors, many times we do them to the detriment of the citizens of the city of Ocala, and it can't be that way. It's got to be good for both of us.
We
and
agree.
I don't have a problem with helping the county out, the school board out, anybody, but it's got to work for both of us.
We agree.
It's a one-sided agreement. It just doesn't make any financial sense for us to do it.
And that's why
and I
mentioned that if we confine it to the Ocala Meadows development, then there is some benefit, am I correct? Yeah, I mean, we, it's not a lopsided deal.
Yes, if we only do this agreement, what it allows us to do is that in the city of Ocala, as I say, and I really didn't mean it flippantly that the sun will come up tomorrow, I really believe that we're going to come out on the other end of this because there are a lot of people working really hard to make sure that the city gets noticed. And so at the end of the day, we're going to have additional capacity. And the trouble with having additional capacity is for every million gallons that you have additional capacity, you also have to be able to show DEP that you've got a million gallons to put that treated reclaimed water. So what we would be able to do with Ocala Meadows is, as I understand it right now, according to and talking to Ocala Meadows, is that they would have a use between 500 and 750,000 gallons of reclaimed water. Well, what we'd be able to do with that is put it on, that on our DEP permits. That would then mitigate, now it wouldn't necessarily take away, but it would mitigate the amount of land that we would have to purchase and build infrastructure on and capitalize later on for reclaimed water. So there is a definite benefit to us doing a deal with Ocala Meadows.
Mr. Owen.
Yes, but again, the way that they're trying to structure it, Jeff, and I'm going to ask you, are you comfortable with this city council agreeing to an agreement with the county commissioners that they may or may not get from their staff that says, Jeff, here's what you got to do. You got to start taking everything that comes from the north. We don't know what that's going to be, and we're going to write a big check for it, and then we'll just figure out what to do with it all, and then one day, all of a sudden, we've eaten up our capacity. And again, I go right back to, you got to build another plant. And what's going to be our funding mechanism to that?
I promise you that anybody who's ever been in a meeting with me knows how comfortable I am with what you just said. I don't. It's not something that we want to do, and the mayor is absolutely right, and the county knows that. I don't think that's the issue. The issue is that we're down on in the red zone. Can we make it, you know, for a touchdown or not? And the issue is that can we have an agreement that both is going to satisfy the needs of this council and satisfy the needs of their commission, not me or not, you know, some of the guys in the staff. The issue is simply this, is that if we can look at it, that it's a win for us, can we make it happen? Yes. But as you said, the wholesale agreement and the mayor, as you referred to, is something that we should really discuss and see whether or not that is something that we want to get into for the reasons that you just stated.
Well, I don't know if you're meeting again or when you're meeting again or whatever.
I don't know
either. I can just tell you it may be of some benefit at some point to you go to the next county commission meeting, mm-hmm. and go right to that podium and just be, you know, and I know, Jeff, Matt, that this, y'all may not agree with this, but I'm just telling you, I'd go and ask the county commissioners in a public meeting. We're going to ask you one more time. Do y'all want to be in the water and sewer business? And are you instructing your staff to be in the water and sewer business? If you are, that's fine, and that's great, and that's wonderful, and good luck to you.
Right.
And we'll, you know, we'll see you. Because if they are, there's just, again, they're wanting, it's a real easy thing for them to leverage all of our systems and everything that the city of Ocala, as the mayor said, all the taxpayer dollars that just our system, just real quick, what do you think to date the city taxpayers have paid on water and sewer, just everything we have?
We're probably estimate our assets at $187 million.
Okay.
Wow.
And the counties, they've been trying to get into the business. And again, you know what, you know my analogy was that they're showing up at the 2012 Daytona 500 with a 77 Ford Pinto in the left lane thinking they're gonna let it eat. And I would say to you, go ahead and let the flag drop, and we'll see you in turn one. It just can't happen.
If I could say one last thing is that you ask will the sun come up. There's a lot of things in the city of Ocala that we really are doing for the citizens of Ocala. You know, we're trying to connect the reclaimed water lines between WF number 2 and WF number 3 so that we can move reclaimed water through different parts of the city and better utilize those areas. You know, we're looking at, you know, nutrient criteria. We're looking at, you know, our water and you know, making sure we're doing the best for what we can. There are several studies out there, one in particular that I talk about often by the University of Louisville, that talks about, you know, once you start to extend your infrastructure really far, you really, the cost payback is not that much. So, you know, we are looking at that and studying those kind of things. And like I say, the sun will come up tomorrow for us. There are a lot of things that we can do here, a lot of great things that we can do. There's a lot of older infrastructure. You know, we've been in a utility business for over 100 years. So there are some things that we do. There's a lot of citizens that see us work out every day. There's a lot of things that we do that we don't do anymore. Used to see us, and we dig a trench all the way down the, you know, the street. Now we go through and we do jack and bore, you know, we do directional boring and stuff like that to try to minimize. So there's a lot of things that we can do here.
Yeah, and I just, again, it's not just this, what you're doing for this county, what you're doing for this community. And I'll tell you, I think, and the citizens don't know what they have. I appreciate everything you've done. I mean, you live this stuff, and I know you eat it, drink it, sleep it. I mean, it's 24/7 for you, and we are on a good path. And again, I go back to just the simple philosophical question for the county. It's not us. We're in the business. Do they want to be in the business? And if they do, then it's drop the flag, and we're in competition, and the urban service area goes away. And you know, it may be a roll of the dice or whatever, but I like our head start where we're at in the water and sewer business. And at some point, there's going to be three commissioners who realize that. I think there's two over there now. And a couple of them are in elections, and they get a little bit more money than we do, so we're going to see where they're at. But I still think they've got a philosophical question to answer before we continue down any other path. Because right now, their staff says, we can get in the water and sewer business, and we don't have to build anything, and we'll just sign this pretty agreement with the city. And you know what the city stuck with.
You know, one other thing that we want to talk about, too, in the way of trying to minimize our issues with the citizens and trying to have to, you know, bond more money is, you know, we're talking about, remember the agreement with On Top of the World that we're looking at, too, so that, you know, we can also, hopefully, when we get that negotiation across the goal line, is to be able to have, you know, land that we can also apply to an FDE permit so that, What it really does is, as I'll be honest with you, it's kind of self-preservation. Mark keeps coming after my spray field, so I just I want to make sure we got enough land to spray all the reclaimed water that we need out there.
Tomatoes need fertilizer, brother. He's getting a green thumb over there. He's starting to grow stuff. We got to figure out how to make it grow.
Council President,
yes,
if I could take just a moment and opine for a second. The agreement that you have seen that's directed towards Ocala Meadows and Ocala Meadows only,
right,
is an agreement that staff can completely support. It is a win-win for everyone. There's give and take on both parts, which is the way the agreement should be structured. The city, of course, is able to leverage some of its existing capacity and serve some of the effluent needs of Ocala Meadows, earn a little bit of additional revenue. We're also able to have significant amount of avoided cost with our reuse system. And so there's significant benefits to the city and to its ratepayers. There's also significant benefits to the county because they have an acute need right now. They have an acute issue with Ocala Meadows. So the way that is intended to be structured, we can support that. The question is, can we get the county to get this agreement across the finish line so the political bodies can actually take a motion on it?
Yeah, if you could remember, and I just go on what Matt said, is that at Silver Springs, they were going to have to upgrade to Silver Springs plant to be able to provide enough horsepower to get the pumps to pump the water all the way to Ocala Meadows. And if you remember there, they were looking at $6 million on that. So, you know, they have significant cost avoidance by doing this agreement.
Yes, and again, I just, the Ocala Meadows thing, their staff saw that Ocala Meadows, and since we're up here talking about Ocala Meadows, let's just talk about the whole north end of the county. And all of a sudden, it got from where we started with our workshop to where we sit today. This thing got real busy, real fast, and
right,
they started just. It was like they're just, let's just go ahead and ask. Let's just throw all this stuff in here, and ought to be real simple. We presented options on Silver Springs. We presented options on Ocala Meadows. We presented options on 27, and then all of a sudden, you know, again, I go back to the email from Guy Menner the other day. This thing got sideways real fast in a hurry, and I had two commissioners ask me that was my opinion that this thing got out of hand, and I told them yes, it shouldn't be this difficult. And there's some very, just what you're talking about, Matt, there's some very targeted problems, and there's some very targeted solutions, and that's very much baby steps as moving forward. Who knows where we don't know what's going to happen in 15 years, 20 years. Would it be great that we continue to have growth in the north end of the county and residents and homes and businesses. Yeah, that's what we're all trying to do here every single day, you know, sell Ocala Marion County and come live here and be a part of this community. We all want to do that. But to just give the county sort of just carte blanche of everything that happens, you know, between here and Gainesville over the next 50 years and expect us to have to deal with all the frustration of it is not a win-win for the city. So Ocala Meadows, do you want to talk about it? Do you not want to talk about it? Silver Springs, do you want to talk about it or not? And 27, and if not, I would ask the commissioners again so they can somehow give direction, because it amazes me how we can have a workshop, direction gets laid out, and it's nowhere near what was happened. So,
and again, I was amazed again when we had a meeting of four people, a council person, a commissioner, our city manager went down the road that we were talked about going down, but the county did not get that communicated through to their staff.
The commission didn't.
The commissioner understood. We all understood what we left the meeting for.
But their staff.
But their staff did not get the communication that was the direction that all four of us had agreed to at that meeting.
There's a disconnect.
There is a disconnect.
The commissioners.
Right.
Got it.
And I can tell you, it's frustrating.
Well.
But, just, you know, I'm new to the game.
Just tell them to call us whenever they're ready to actually.
I was going to say, and again, Matt, I know we got to have some win-wins because we've got some other issues I know you're facing. And again, I'm going to bring up some, you know, old wounds, but I go back to the consolidation thing. We got to continue to hopefully keep the lines of communication open on a lot of issues.
Yes.
And that's been this whole thing. But, you know, it may even be considered roll of the dice, but I just, you can almost just say, you know what, never mind. We presented you some options. This thing's not gotten to where we wanted or where we think it's going to be advantageous for the taxpayers of the city of Ocala. Good luck. And I think it'll set in there real quick all of a sudden when the staff does have to present an agenda item to the Board of County Commissioners that it involves a lot of numbers to fix a lot of things, that it'll come back again. Didn't we have a solution for this that was about 8 cents on the dollar for this? How come we're not doing this? And then let that staff have to stand there in that public meeting and explain why those options are in front of them.
Right.
Madam President.
Yes.
I would still like to see us concentrate our efforts on Ocala Meadows. I think it's one deal, and if we can give a little and take a little on the one deal, possibly get that done, and maybe we can do some things in the future. But I understand what you're saying.
And you're right, John, but here's the thing. So we sit there and we do that, and you get the commissioners doing that, and we say, let's hear on one piece of paper, let's do Ocala Meadows. One piece, real quick,
right,
five or six bullet points, and let's do that. Well, all of a sudden, you end up with a 97-page document that says Ocala Meadows plus, Ocala Meadows plus, Ocala Meadows plus. Wait a minute, I thought we said Ocala Meadows, and you're exactly right.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Bring us a one, have the county say, bring us one piece of paper that says Ocala Meadows, period.
Right?
Period.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, even with the commissioner saying that, their staff can't produce that document and don't want to produce that document.
Right.
Well, and, Mr. Quinn, you know, back to kind of the disconnect on, you know, the county commission. I don't want to get on the county commission. They're all good folks, but you know, I think it's, you know, a staff issue. I mean, you know, I mean, probably if billion-dollar companies are sold on a cocktail napkin over, you know, around the golf, and they just say, here's what we want to do, make it happen.
Sure.
You know, the commissioners, you know, they know what they want. It's just not from a staff level, you know, happening, or from staff level back to the commissioners, it's just not happening. But, you know, I would say if they can't, you know, get done what we need to get done, I would just, you know, let it sit for a while and tell us when they're ready to, you know, get serious about it. Give us a call. You know, we'll be here.
I will say that there seemed to be at this meeting today, you know, a lot more cooperation in that respect. The only thing that's left in the agreement, and that's what they were going to go back on, is whether or not that they wanted to make this agreement solely about Ocala Meadows. They were going to go talk to staff about that. The other items that we were concerned with, I think we've come to a pretty decent agreement on those. So I think we're okay on everything else except the main important part of it.
But, yeah, my, what's interesting about that is that they were not going to go back and talk to the commissioners about it.
No, that was my question. So it's down to the one issue.
That's where a $200 a month politician comes in handy.
There's very little one lose.
I'll tell them.
Let me ask you. Okay, Jeff, do, well, I guess I should know. But can they do anything about us letting the urban service area sunset in 2016? You said we had to write them a letter in 2015. Can they? What can they do?
That's probably a legal question. I'm not sure what they can do. We can. It would have been a lot. I can answer you this. It would have been a lot different had some of the legislative things still been in place a couple years ago. We probably have some leeway that we didn't have before. And one of the leeway that we wouldn't have had before was that we would have had to presented some kind of document saying what we thought the additional capacities that we would take on would be. And we would have to get those approved through the Water Management District and or the DEP. But having said that, there's a couple things that have changed in the legislation recently that may allow us to do what we need to do, but I really can't answer that without getting in trouble with Jimmy or Pat, probably.
I can probably elaborate just a little bit on that, Councilman Rich. Should the urban service territory sunset, and it will, in March of 2016, of course, at that point in time, the city will have the right to go out and provide service to others not currently in our existing service territory. There's a caveat that, however, Jimmy has indicated to Jeff and I that there will be some preference given to the utility which has existing infrastructure near the intended development. In other words, if the county, for example, already has a water line or a sewer line or a reuse line near an intended development, they'd be given preference to provide service to it. And so you might see an intent on the part of the county to run lines everywhere they can before it's sunset so they'd be able to maintain that preference of service.
Right.
I agree with Mr. Owens. We don't need to jump into this until we get a document that says specifically what we're going to do.
Mr. President.
Yes, Mr. Blank.
And Pat, I mean, you looked at that urban service agreement recently.
Not 10 years.
I mean, you know, what are the implications of us just saying, you know, we don't want to do this anymore? It's write him a letter. That's over with. Now.
Completely defer to Jimmy on that.
Okay.
I have no idea.
I mean, some of the interlocal agreements with the county, they just say we don't want to do this anymore. That clause, and that's the end of it.
I've seen the urban service area on a map.
Right.
And you now know everything I know about the urban service area.
All right.
Anyone else? Anything else? All right, that's the
thank
end
you.
Of, that's the end of my comments.
Those are good comments.
And
that'll teach you to ask something.
That's right. That's what I wanted, though, honestly, just to get everybody's feel for that and so I know where we are.
Well, again, I just, again, like John was saying, it's a simple document.
Right.
It's a simple,
right.
It's just a very simple thing. How can we talk about Ocala Meadows and
we're down to one thing on Ocala
right.
Meadows.
And if
one item.
And if it ventures outside of that property line.
Right. Right.
See you later.
I'm with you. We're adjourned.
That's not much record setting there.
There you go, and that was even with the 30-minute meeting.
Now you can go back to Panama City.
I'm going to Atlanta.
She never called me.
She's really going out.
Atlanta, you going tonight?
Oh, I didn't call you.
You didn't even set aside something.
They're not a big